third letter of John. This is John writing to, he calls him the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. And he says he's the elder. I am the elder writing to the beloved Gaius. I see eldership in the New Testament as being the result of somebody bringing other people to Jesus, and they therefore become their spiritual children. And whether you're a 16-year-old who brought an 80-year-old to Jesus Christ, you are in that sense their elder. And so he's writing to someone whom he's converted. And it seems that this Gaius is in, or was, a member of a church that also John had founded, but it had gone wrong because he says that we are not welcome in that church. They do not welcome us, verse 9. So I think this is a church that's gone wrong. So let's try and figure out what's really happened. But first of all, give full weight to verse 2. I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In other words, I pray above all things that you may spiritually be healthy, as I understand you are actually quite healthy physically. Because that's the thing. Above all things, we want people to come to the kingdom. This is the kingdom perspective. No matter what happens, and we're going to read about church politics here and church gone wrong, the main thing is that you stay strong spiritually. And he says he prays for that above all things. One has to take a spiritual perspective, a kingdom perspective, especially when there is relationship breakup in the church. So many people leave. Their faith in God and in Jesus or their spirituality is seriously impacted because they've fallen out with the church, and it may not be their fault, as you see here. And he says, verse 4, I've got no greater joy than to hear of my children, which is why I suggest Gaius is one of his spiritual converts, walking in the truth. That is the greatest joy, believe me, to bring another person to Jesus Christ and to see them walking in the truth. And I think he uses in truth in the same way as Paul talks about in Christ, because it is John who has said that Jesus is the truth in his gospel record. So this is the greatest thing to do in your life. This is the great achievement. It is not how much money you make. It is not how many relationships you have or even how many kids you have. It is not all that stuff. That is all secular. The greatest thing is to help somebody to everlasting life and to see them walking in the truth, to see them walking in Christ towards God's kingdom. There is no joy like that. And I urge you to bend every ounce of resource that you have in your life to bring that about, and to pray to God that he'll give you meetings with people whom you can help towards God's kingdom. Well, at that time, people or believers were going out preaching the gospel in response to the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach. And Gaius has been supporting these people because he says, John says, that you're doing the right thing, you're doing a faithful thing towards the brethren who come to you, who are strangers, that is, you don't know them, because you are helping them on their way, you are supporting them. He was obviously putting them up for the night, helping them, maybe allowing them to stay and preach for some time, giving them food and maybe clothing, etc. Because he says, for the sake of the name, they went forth taking nothing from the Gentiles. That is, these people went out to preach to the Gentiles, but they had a policy of not taking any material support from them. They did it purely motivated by the sake of his name. And that is a big difference to evangelists who are making huge amounts of money. Whereas you see here that John is not like that, and nor is Gaius. And he commends him for that, and he says, well done that you're supporting these people, these brethren who are doing this. And it seems that those brethren, those missionary brethren, had returned to John's church, or to John personally, and told him this, because he says the brothers came and testified. to the truth which is in you. And then he says, you're doing this wonderful work, supporting those people. And I think that's the significance of the last verse, where he says, the friends salute you, salute the friends by name. He's saying that the brethren that you've supported when they were passing through your area and now with me, they send greetings. And I know that you've got some other missionary brethren with you. He calls them the friends. And please greet them by name as well. Which seems to imply that John also knew those brethren whom Gaius was putting up or having stayed his place at that time. I think that's what's going on here. But he says, look, you're doing the right thing. But I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, verse 9, who loves to have the preeminence, does not welcome us. That's Gaius and John. And he says that he prates against us with wicked words. He slanders us. He is on a slander trip. And he's not content with that. He does not welcome the brothers. Well, he's just defined the brothers as those who are the missionary brothers whom Gaius is helping onwards on their way in their missionary work. Well, Diotrephes didn't welcome them in the church. And he forbids and throws out of the church those who do welcome them, people like Gaius. So because Gaius had welcomed these missionary brethren, Diotrephes threw Gaius and others who did that out of the church. And that's why he threw John out of the church. He wouldn't let John come there either. Well, why did he do this? Well, what it says here is because he loved the preeminence. That's God's judgment. And yet I suppose if you said to Diotrephes, and I'm sure that's a code name for him, if you said to him, why are you doing this? Why are you throwing out of the church people who support missionary brethren? He would have said, oh, nothing to do with preeminence. Just in great humility, I have to say that I cannot, or we cannot, fellowship those who are teaching error, and those who will fellowship those who are teaching error, we unfortunately, with great sadness and humility, have to throw out of the church. We cannot fellowship with them. I'm sure he didn't actually use the phrase throw out of the church. He would have said, oh no, in great sadness, we can't fellowship with them. Well, John uses the phrase throws them out of the church. He said it as it was. And I'm going to say it as it is. That in the community that I've come from, that is exactly the policy position. And when I read this, I feel God speaking directly to me. Because, you know, that is what happened to me. That there I was, preaching away. People got jealous with me. Got on about, oh, we're not teaching the right thing. They slandered me unbelievably. Threw me out, and anybody who would support the missionary work that I was doing. Now that is just an example from my personal testimony of how God's word here in third letter of John can speak directly to you, and you think, wow, I am not alone. This is the worst thing in all suffering, that you think I am alone. Well, we are not alone. Man is not alone. And this is where the scripture is so living. That's why Paul can say that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, have hope, because you find that what you thought was a totally unique situation to you is not. Now, you may not have been a missionary, you may not have gone through my path, you may have other issues, or you will have other issues in your life. And yet, search the scriptures, because you will find what I found in 3 John. You will find God speaking directly to you, through historical precedent as recorded here. And John calls it for what it is. He says this is evil. This is evil. And he goes on to say, verse 11, do not imitate such evil. Why does he say that? I think because he knows that the abused are likely to be tempted to abuse. He's telling Gaius, look, I know you've been chucked out of the church because of this. Don't you imitate this behavior. That might seem sort of unnecessary until you realize the strength of that strand which there is in human nature that wants to do to others as they did to me. You see it in little children, and it goes right on through adulthood. It is part of human nature to want to hit back, to take it out on others. You did this to me, so I shall do it to you. Now, how many abusers of whatever kind have actually been abused? Many of them have. A guy doesn't just wake up one morning and decide to go out and abuse somebody in one way or another. The person is struggling with their own abuse issues. And whether it's whatever kind of abuse it is, whether it's, you know, having been chucked out of a church or whatever it might be, you also have suffered bad things in your life. Don't mimic that. Don't reflect that. And he says, don't imitate such evil. He that does evil has not seen God. Well, the doing of the evil in view, is what Diotrephes was doing. So he that does evil here is Diotrephes, and he says he has not seen God because he does evil. And he's alluding to what he's written in his first letter, where he says that if you hate your brother, you have not seen God. So he interprets here, it applies his teaching about hating your brother to make it mean casting them out of the church. Now, when people say, oh, we're terribly sorry, we love you dearly, love you so much, but we can't, unfortunately, fellowship you, that is flannel. That's just so much language. They are doing evil, and they, in that sense, have not seen God. Now, to see God, in John's thought, is to have a relationship with him. And he talks in his gospel, and he quotes the words of the Lord Jesus about seeing and vision and sight. He has quite a lot to say about it. That you can see on one level, but be blind on another. You can see all the theological truths, which I'm sure Diotrephes did. He's certainly not rebuked for any theological error of biblical interpretation. You can see all that, but then you don't see God. And this connects, I'm afraid, with the Lord's parable about how in the last day, people will come banging on the door, saying, let me in. And he will say, I don't know you. In other words, I don't see you. You've never seen me. I do not know you. Lord, Lord, Jesus says elsewhere, they will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do wonderful works in your name? Weren't we preaching the gospel in your name? Weren't we this, that, and the other? And he will say, I don't know you. I really don't know you. So these issues of what's called a closed table, church-based fellowship, whereby people say, we will only fellowship those whom the church says it's okay to fellowship. And if the brethren, that's a strange phrase, the brethren throw you out, well, I have to uphold that. I must submit my conscience to theirs. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because it is doing evil. And if you're going to do evil to your brothers, you have not seen God. As I say, it is those who hate their brother who haven't seen God. Here he says it is those who cast people out of the church who have not seen God. Very clearly, there was a total guilt by association mentality here, because he says that Gaius started prating against us. He started with a slander campaign, and yet it went on. He was not content therewith. He had to refuse to welcome the missionary brethren, and then he went further and forbade those who did welcome them and threw them out of the church. If you broke bread with so-and-so, then you're out. This is called evil. This is called you haven't seen God. Now, I grew up in a community like that, and I think some of you have done. And it is very difficult. It cost me my family. It cost me all I once held dear. It will cost you church membership. It may cost you membership of your denomination. But all I can say is that we are either humble to God's word or not. You either want a bit of religion in your life, or you want a true living relationship with God. And you wonder why Diotrephes had this issue. Well, these people who were going forth preaching in obedience to the Great Commission to the Gentiles, because he says in verse 7, they take nothing from the Gentiles, that is material support. So Gaius, you're doing really good. in looking after them and supporting them in their work. So I suspect he didn't like the idea. He may well have been a Jewish Christian or a Judaist convert. Didn't like this idea at all of missionary brethren going around preaching to Gentiles. And, well, therefore he started slandering John, who was maybe encouraging these brethren, chucked John and Gaius out, and not content with this, he then said, and anyone who fellowships those brethren who are preaching the Gentiles is out. I heard my father saying how many years ago when he first started baptizing black people, he was pretty well chucked out of the church. When I first started baptizing Russian people, a generation after him, oh, it was the same. We don't want those dirty reds in our church, just like they didn't want the dirty blacks in the church of my father's day. And the same old thing went on. Slander, attacking, chucking people out, and chucking out those who support them. This is evil. This is not seeing God. When one raises these abuse issues with folks and says, look, you know, do you see what's going on? You know, this is wrong. Everyone's, ooh, ah, yeah. And, oh, yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of ho-humming. Ah, yes. Ah, it's very sad. It's very tragic. Ah, yes. Ho-hum. But if you choose to belong to a community that has enshrined this kind of attitude and belief system in their statements of policy about fellowship and so on, well, that was your choice. You didn't have to. You chose to identify with those people. And you need to take this seriously. And I, of all people, can tell you that I know what you stand to lose, because I lost it all. But that's okay. By the same token, I can also tell you that there's no other life like it. To live in good conscience with God and Jesus, and to devote yourself to serving them and truly walking in the truth. As John says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. And he says, well done that you're helping them, verse 5. You are a faithful worker in the truth. Well, this translates the Greek synergos, ko-synergos. And the idea is of synergy. You've been chucked out of the church by this Diotrephes guy and all the lame, weak-minded, wrong-headed people who support him, because no abuser like this acts in isolation. They act because they have support. But he says you can be part of what we would call the synergy. The synergos, the synergy, the co-working of the Lord Jesus. Because he definitely will work with you. You don't need to be in a standard church. You don't need to be in any kind of organization that does this kind of thing. The synergy, the energy of God, the Spirit of God, is working everywhere, is working with you in every situation. Now, it may sound a scary thought to think, well, are you suggesting that I should leave? Well, if you're involved in doing this sort of thing, you better leave, because you haven't seen God, as is what it says here. And don't worry. Make yourself face the question. Do I just want religion in my life, or do I actually want to do the right thing before God? Do I want religion, or do I want spirituality? That, in the end, is the question that all these situations repeatedly bring us to. Gaius did the right thing. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, commends him for doing the right thing. And in the end, it is they who shall be in the kingdom, and clearly Diotrephes, sadly, won't be.